News. Now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Maria Leaf. It's the calm before the storm, and that storm has now been upgraded by the National Weather Service. We are now under a winter storm warning for the D.C. metro area through Sunday afternoon. Forecaster Jeremy Geiger tells WMAL what you can expect outside your door.
As of right now, we have a snow total through the whole event, which includes through Sunday. We're expecting totals upwards of probably 3 to 5, maybe 4 to 6.
And Geiger says that Fairfax and Loudoun counties will start seeing snow around noon today, while D.C., Montgomery, Prince George's counties will start to see that snow come in around 2. The heaviest snow, he says, will be late afternoon into tonight before everything tapers off tomorrow morning. And again, up to 6 inches of snow is now possible with this storm. The New York Times is reporting law enforcement officials became so concerned by President Trump's behavior in the days after he fired FBI Director James Comey that they began investigating whether he had been working for Russia against U.S. interests. Correspondent Sarah Westwood reads a statement from the White House on the report.
Sarah Sanders, White House press secretary, saying in a strongly worded statement, "This is absurd. James Comey was fired because he's a disgraced partisan hack, and his deputy, Andrew McCabe, who was in charge at the time, is a known liar fired by the FBI. Unlike President Obama, who let Russia and other foreign adversaries push America around, President Trump has actually been tough on Russia."
A massive explosion in a Paris shopping district was first thought to be a terrorist act, but police have now linked it to a leaking gas explosion. This man was walking by when it happened.
"I felt a big pressure came out of me, a black smoke, so I just have time to get down and then cover my head and cover everything. I was in panic, so I just ran, so a lot of rocks, a lot of things came off the roof."
The Associated Press now reporting at least 36 people have been injured. A bill introduced in Annapolis would double Maryland's commitment to use renewable energy.
Maryland will meet its current 25% goal by 2020. Democrat Senator Brian Feldman wants to bump that to 50%, and not just because it's good for the environment.
"We anticipate that would create something like 20,000 new solar jobs and about 5,500 wind jobs, high-paying jobs."
Governor Larry Hogan opposed the jump at first, but Feldman thinks he's come around.
"All the new data about climate change and sort of the urgency for states to move forward, I think, is driving force for him as well."
John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, the Wizards beat the Bucks 113-106. WMAL traffic and weather next.
You must be this informed.
"I'm so glad I found this radio station.
I listen to it just about every day."
To ride on another roller coaster year of breaking news.
"This is crazy."
So if you're ready, jump on in and enjoy the ride.
"One journey ends and the other begins.
After all, this is America.
Come with us and be a part of this.
You should listen to many voices."
Happy News Year.
"This is truly an exciting time for our country."
From WMAL.
"Are you a stock or option trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day. For free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options."
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, we've got some slow traffic on DC 295 southbound, headed from East Capitol Street to Pennsylvania Avenue. With that new construction pattern in place, lane shifting to the left in the rough road pavement. Also seeing some delays on northbound DC 295 in the same area, with weekend construction set up there as well. Earlier accidents on the outer loop between Route 50 and 450 completely cleared away. Now in Gaithersburg, we do have some accident activity on Great Seneca Highway at Kentlands Boulevard. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And again, a winter storm warning in effect for the D.C. metro area and through 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Up to 6 inches of snow is expected across the region. Cloudy today, to start the day at least, high 36. Periods of snow tonight, low 31. Snow tomorrow again, accumulating at least 1 to 3 inches with temperatures in the low to mid-30s before we finally get a bit of relief. Some clouds on Monday, high 37. It's 25 right now in Bowie, 31 at Reagan National. I'm Maria Leaf on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add one voice mobility line. Switch before January 18th and get a $300 prepaid card, too. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 1/31/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet. Prepaid offer ends 1/18/19.
You own a timeshare, and it's the time of the year for eye-popping maintenance fees arriving in your mailbox. How much will it be this time?
You're kidding me. This is ridiculous.
Really? How much do you actually use it? Is it really worth all that? The vacation times you want never seem available. Your fees keep going up, and now you're getting slammed with more costs. Still having fun?
That's it. I'm out.
Timeshare Freedom Group is ready to help you escape your timeshare money pit. We've guided thousands of people like you through the freedom process. Let us help free you from your overpriced, useless, money-draining timeshare. We're the leaders in the industry with decades of experience canceling timeshares worldwide, legally and permanently. And we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Start the freedom process now. Call us at 866-400-9300. That's 866-400-9300. 866-400-9300.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
WMAL. Saturday morning update on WMAL as we enter the fourth week of the partial shutdown of the federal government. Who better than to ask about it than John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good to have you with us this morning.
Good to be here this morning, and what a week it has been.
Well, you're here, but the members of Congress are not, so it sounds like we have a record breaker that will continue, at least for the weekend. And the big question, obviously, I think on everybody's mind, is there any indication from what you've seen at the White House, what you've seen on Capitol Hill, people you have talked to, any sense that somebody's going to blink and bend on this?
No, none whatsoever. The president, in both his televised address to the nation and his appearances to see us guys in the White House and outside Marine One, the presidential helicopter, made it clear his feet are in cement. The government will not reopen until the final appropriations measure includes $5.6 billion to complete the border wall or barrier or whatever the name du jour is. Senate Democrats made so clear in the televised address by Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, they are not budging. There will be no money for a wall. Therefore, one has to say that they're eyeball to eyeball and no one is going to blink. Reporters generally take the president at his word. He'll keep the government shut down for years unless he gets his wall money. And there is talk of compromise in the air. Former presidential press secretary Ari Fleischer, for example, has suggested $2.6 billion for the wall and letting local law enforcement officials and the Border Patrol determine just where to do the building and connect the various parts of the wall or fence that are already there. The problem with that theory is the president says $5.6 billion, period, and Democrats say no money for a wall, which they find to be un-American. Where do you go from here? Well, you don't. You just sit and wait.
So where might he go from here? One answer to that question is the idea of declaring a national emergency. And you spoke with two key players that know how that would work if he were to do it. And tell us who you talked to and what they said.
All right. On the Republican side, former Federal Emergency Management Administrator Michael Brown. That's right. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job of Katrina fame. Spoke to me more than 10 years after Katrina made his name a household word and he went out of office in ignominy. Whatever you think of Michael Brown, he knows a little bit about disaster relief, and he says the president is perfectly justified in declaring an emergency under the National Emergency Act of 1976. I might add, as Mr. Brown pointed out to this reporter, that since that law went on the books, 42 states of emergency have been declared since 1976. The president will have problems, however, in pursuing his goal of moving money from one appropriation for defense to start actually putting the bricks and mortar or the steel down, as he said he prefers of late, and that is that the local governors involved are going to object. It's interesting to note that when Katrina occurred, a state of emergency never existed. Brown and then Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez had drawn up a document for President George W. Bush. President Bush ran it past the then governor of Louisiana, who did object to it, and he decided not to promulgate a national emergency during Katrina. President Trump would presumably ask for the okay of the governors of California, Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico. But with two Democratic governors, he'd have a few arguments on his hand. In addition, Congress would have to come up and judge the state of emergency 6 months down the line and state in a vote whether the emergency still existed. Again, a problem for the president. Under Section 2808 of U.S. Code 10, the president would be authorized through the Secretary of Defense to move funding for military construction from one outlet to another. In other words, funds appropriated for certain military endeavors could now be used to start building the wall. Again, this would be subject to likely legal challenge in court. Let me also add that Michael Brown was not the only source out there addressing what the president can or can't do. Writing in LawSure, Margaret Taylor, a former Democratic counsel in the Senate and now a fellow with the Brookings Institute, concludes that the president can order an emergency act. She says that there will be legal challenges, but like Mr. Brown, she cites Section 2808 of the U.S. Code overseeing the use of funds for military spending and giving the Secretary of Defense the right to move money from one federal pot to another. I might add that neither former Administrator Brown nor Ms. Taylor want a national emergency to be declared. Both say there'll be more problems with it than there'll be problems solved. But can the president do it? Yes.
But can he hold the Congress together, the coalition? Well, the Republican side, will they stick together? We'll ask John Gizzi next. First, though, the WMAL traffic and weather for the morning. Michelle Murray's in the traffic center.
So far, traffic moves at a good pace on the Beltway through Montgomery and Prince George's County. Earlier wreck on the outer loop at 450 completely cleared away. Now, we do have some slow traffic on DC 295. Actually, it's in both directions between East Capitol Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. Northbound delays actually begin at the 11th Street Bridge, all because of construction zones happening on DC 295 over the weekend, and also that new traffic pattern southbound at Pennsylvania Avenue. Traveling on 395, not seeing any delays from Springfield to the 14th Street Bridge, or on 95 from Woodbridge into Springfield. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Winter storm warning is in effect from 4 o'clock this afternoon to 1 p.m. on Sunday. Significant snow expected, according to the National Weather Service and the Weather Channel. Total snow accumulations 3 to 6 inches expected across D.C., Central Maryland, and Northern Virginia. Once the snow is done, the temperatures remain kind of chilly for the next few days. For Sunday, we'll look for a high temperature only to 33. For Monday, partly cloudy, a high of 35. Sunshine back in the picture on Tuesday with a high of 40. Outside now in Washington, 27, heading up to 35 this afternoon. 717 Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
We continue our conversation with John Gizzi, White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And John, of course, we're talking about the shutdown, the politics of it. So far, the Republicans have been pretty much holding it together, some possible defections from Maine to Alaska. But in essence, Lindsey Graham's been leading the charge. And do you think the Republicans will be able to hold that coalition together?
I believe so. In the Senate, there is a possible defection in Maine and one in Alaska. Not too sure about whether there'll be one anywhere else. In the House, one Republican congressman told me that 24, roughly two dozen Republican House members, have been thinking of heading for the high grass on this and voting with Democrats to reopen the government. That hasn't happened yet. And another member told me that when the House Republicans gather in conference, any talk of this is quickly reprimanded, and the members move on with supporting the president and supporting the shutdown until border security is achieved. Again, we live in an age where social media, talk radio, and cable news play a mighty impact on men and women in Washington. But so far, there's no hemorrhaging on the Republican side.
So, of course, the morning after, everyone's talking about the president's first Oval Office address and the Democratic response. Your take on sort of how it all played out, I mean, you saw the pundits, you've talked to a lot of people. Your assessment of both the president's performance and response and the Democrats' performance and the response to their message?
I talked to several Republican political consultants, a couple of political scientists, including Henry Olson of the Center for Ethics and Public Policy, and Norm Ornstein of the American Enterprise Institute, and the aforementioned Ari Fleischer, former presidential press secretary. To a person, most of them agreed that the president did rather well in his first televised address to the nation. He made a strong case that there is lawlessness around the border, Americans are endangered, and the wall was necessary. On the other hand, did he move anyone? It's highly unlikely. As Norm Ornstein of AEI put it, it was a nothing burger in terms of moving the needle. On the other hand, did Democrats win anyone else over to their case for reopening the government? Hardly. Senator Schumer and Speaker Pelosi may be very able operatives in vote counting and in the politics of Capitol Hill. In terms of making an impression on the public, well, one observer likened them to Gomez on Morticia, on the old Adams Family spoof of horror programs back in the 1960s. They did not have an endearing and appealing message to the public. So, it's a stalemate. That's the conclusion. of those who watch this and analyze for a living.
So there's been a question in the past week about the State of the Union address, the Speaker of the House inviting the President to do a State of the Union address, and there was a big question as to whether he would or he wouldn't, but you put the question right to him.
Yes. Last Sunday, as the President was taking off in his Marine One helicopter for Camp David, reporters, as they usually do, gathered outside the White House, and with the helicopter's propellers chopping and making shouting and responding difficult, the President gave what he called a press conference. This was only 2 days after Speaker Pelosi formally invited the President to deliver the State of the Union. Would he accept, I asked, and in what format would he do it? Delivering it as presidents traditionally do, in the House chamber before a joint session, or possibly another venue, such as a broadcast from the Oval Office. Franklin Roosevelt was the last president to do that in 1944, when coming back from the Tehran Conference and fighting the flu, he chose to do the broadcast without making the trek across Pennsylvania Avenue and standing for more than an hour in the House chamber. What would Donald Trump do? I intend to deliver the State of the Union address, and I was glad to be invited, he said. Despite differences over the budget, over spending, and border security, he would deliver the message. He never said what format he would engage in. Would he send it in writing? Would he opt for the broadcast? Or would he, as presidents have done since Woodrow Wilson, do it in person? He still can opt out of a personal State of the Union message. We'll wait and see on this January 29th.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And, John, you do get around.
I certainly do. And last night I got around to the 80th birthday party of my friend William M. Schultz, a longtime Washington editor of the Reader's Digest. It was a wonderful event, as people who've known Bill Schultz for years toasted him. He'll be best remembered as the man who, after reading four newspapers a day, consulting various reporters, lit up his cigar and edited the words that would go into what was for decades America's most read publication, the Reader's Digest. Bill was known for talking to a variety of people to write things, former congressmen, firefighters, businessmen, labor leaders, everyone it seemed who wanted to get a message, wanted to get into the Digest. DeWitt Wallace, RD's founder, was considered the lion behind the Reader's Digest, but Bill Schultz gave it its roar on public policy. And he came under fire for many years for keeping the message of patriotism and traditional values, the format, the lodestar of the Reader's Digest. But he stayed firm in his beliefs, and that's where Reader's Digest came from, just like a Norman Rockwell painting or a patriotic message. Bill Schultz is retired now, and Reader's Digest lives on in online form. RD.com is what it's called. But his legacy is very clear, and he has a lot to be proud of, along with his four sons and 17 grandchildren. Congratulations, old friend, and happy birthday, Bill Schultz.
Spoken like a true Washington insider. John Gizzi, thank you.
Thank you, and have a grand day. Stay warm this weekend.
Yeah. 7:25 Saturday morning update. We're going to check in with Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel coming up next.
At MGM National Harbor, we're putting cold hard cash in your hands. Now through March 1st, play daily for a chance to win $10,000 cash every Friday and be automatically entered to win the biggest cash prize of the year. Just swipe your M Life Rewards card and you could be the one shoveling cash this season. Every day is monumental at MGM National Harbor when you have another chance to win.
Person must be 21 and cannot be on the Maryland exclusion list. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.com or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years. I owed the IRS a lot of money.
Louie was in deep trouble.
We're going to take your house, put a lien on your bank account, garnish your pay. They don't care. They're going to take your paycheck.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima Tax, they helped me. They calmed me down. They made me feel comfortable, and I trust them.
Louie has a lot to be thankful for.
I don't owe the IRS anymore, and I'm able to live a comfortable life, a better life. It was because of Optima Tax.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation. Take it from Louie.
If you owe the IRS, don't go it alone. Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, it's Eric Stewart from the Point of View Home Shows, heard right here on WMAL. For the past 30 years, I've been helping individuals just like you sell their homes. Because of my experience, I've put together a guide that will teach you the basics like market timing and what home renovations give you the highest return. This market-ready guide sells for $19.99, but if you're one of the first 20 callers, I'll give you one for free. Pick up your phone now. Call 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104.
The Washington Camping RV Expo is back in 2019 at the Dulles Expo Center, January 11th through 13th. For more information, visit WashingtonRVExpo.com.
/7:27 Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, and we are joined by Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel. Jeff, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, no problem, Rick.
All right, so we're talking about a winter storm warning, and give us the very latest as you're, you know, watching the radar screens, the computer models, and obviously what's coming out of the National Weather Service as well.
This is a kind of a tight little storm here that is just going to really has already wreaked a lot of havoc into areas west. We've seen some pretty substantial double-digit snowfall. Don't know if that's going to be the case here once this storm continues to progress east. But we are starting to see in areas down around Charlottesville, moving up towards Fredericksburg. This is all strictly on radar here, seeing some of the snow start to progress. This is kind of the outer limits moving in towards the D.C. area. The bulk of the heavier snow still over into parts of western West Virginia and into Ohio, but we've got the winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories now that have now stretched all the way down into and through the western Carolinas into northeastern Georgia, and they are still up as far west as in Kansas. So it's been kind of watching this storm just progress throughout the night throughout yesterday has been kind of an eye-opening thing because, like I said, it's a sharp cutoff both north and south as far as looking back across the map.
And this is one of those where sometimes we'll have a storm that will skirt to the north. So, in other words, we don't get hit, but Baltimore gets hit. Is this one that's just such a sort of widespread storm that, you know, whatever Baltimore gets, we get, and Fredericksburg gets?
It looks like that might be the case. It's kind of watching it now. There's a couple of factors into the southern tier of the country that looks like it's kind of pushing a little bit farther north. But we'll see how this progresses once we get the leading edge through West Virginia and see exactly what we're going to. We should know more, I would think, in the next couple of hours once we continue to see this thing push east. But there is a little bit of a northeasterly trajectory here. So this is something definitely to watch over the next couple of hours to see where this progresses.
Wonderful information. Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel, thank you.
Thank you.
Winter storm warning in effect 4 p.m. this afternoon to 1 o'clock Sunday. That from the National Weather Service. And Maria Leaf is next. She'll have further details. And obviously, we'll keep you posted throughout the morning and throughout the weekend here on WMAL. 7:30, Tony Schaefer's coming up and Cheryl Atkinson. Stay with us.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.
News.
now.
WML News at 7:30. I'm Maria Leaf. If you have any errands to run this weekend, you're going to want to get them done this morning. A winter storm warning has been issued for our area through tomorrow afternoon, and it's likely that parts of our area could wind up with a half foot of snow. This is National Weather Service forecaster Jeremy Geiger.
The further south and southwest you go, the higher the totals. It looks like it's areas of southern Montgomery County. Most of PG County and southward are all going to be in the at least four and a half inch range, or maybe slightly higher.
And he says if you're in northern Virginia, you can expect to see snow start around noon today. D.C. and Maryland, it'll start around 2. It'll pick up in intensity tonight before things calm down late tomorrow morning. The federal government has entered day 22 of a partial government shutdown, becoming the longest closure in U.S. history. 9 of the 15 cabinet-level departments have not been funded. The previous record for the longest shutdown occurred during Bill Clinton's presidency. That one lasted from December 15, 1995. Through January 6, 1996. A gas leak at a Paris bakery caused a huge explosion there early this morning, killing 4 and injuring 47 others.
Firefighters were called out to the scene because someone had smelled gas, and it was while they were here that huge explosion took place, setting off a fire in that bakery. Of course, the first question anyone asked in Paris is whether it was terror-related. Very quickly, authorities confirmed to CNN that it was due to a gas leak.
Correspondent Melissa Bell. In sports, the Wizards beat the Bucks 113-106. WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Slow traffic in the district on DC 295 southbound from East Capitol Street to Pennsylvania Avenue. With a new traffic pattern in place there, we also have construction this weekend, and also we're seeing some slow traffic northbound on DC 295 from the 11th Street Bridge headed towards Pennsylvania Avenue with the work zone reported on that side of the roadway as well. Other than that, not seeing any delays throughout the area. So far, 95 in Virginia looks good. From Dumfries all the way into Springfield, no problems on 395 from Springfield headed to the 14th Street Bridge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And again, we will be under a winter storm warning later this afternoon. That'll be in effect through 1 o'clock Sunday. Up to 6 inches of snow is expected depending where you are in the area. Otherwise, cloudy to start the day today, high 36. Periods of snow tonight, low 31. Temperatures tomorrow with the snow will hold in the low to mid-30s before things clear out on Monday, sunny, high 37. 26 right now in Silver Spring, 31 at Reagan National. I'm Maria Leaf on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Having a place to come was important to Will and me.
The Catholic Church insists that cremated remains be respectfully buried in the sacred ground of a cemetery.
When I have a dilemma, I will stop in here to get some insight. It is his resting place.
To secure your family's place for remembrance and prayer, call a Catholic cemeterian at 301-871-1300 or visit ccaw.org.
If you have that in your plans, you know where your resting place will be.
A message from the Catholic cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Washington, including All Souls Cemetery and Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Montgomery County, Maryland, Resurrection Cemetery in Prince George's County, Maryland, Mount Olivet Cemetery in the District of Columbia, and St. Mary's Queen of Peace Cemetery in Southern Maryland.
Politics is at the crossroads of business, culture, art, even sports, and now a national publication is dedicated to the full picture. I'm Larry O'Connor. The newly expanded Washington Examiner magazine offers straight news, smart conservative analysis, and exclusive lawmaker interviews, plus all new lifestyle features delivered each week. Upgrade your political reading and subscribe now to their introductory offer of $50 for an entire year of magazines at WashingtonExaminer.com/WMAL. Washington Examiner. Straight news, conservative views.
Chris Plant here for the professional matchmakers at It's Just Lunch. You know, when it comes to dating, you have two choices, face-to-face or online. So which one actually works? The truth is, you can't spell online without L-I-E. And studies show that more than half of online daters lie on their profiles. That's why It's Just Lunch is so effective. Relationships that start face-to-face are more likely to last. And 74% of singles say the best sign of good chemistry is good conversation. It's Just Lunch is the only in-person matchmaking service whose members are relationship-ready, invested in success, and 100% guaranteed to go on dates with quality people who are pre-screened and hand-selected for you by local matchmakers. The choice is clear. If you're a single professional who's ready for real dating, visit itsjustlunchdc.com. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and thanks to EMP 180, I lost 40 pounds and I'm feeling great. EMP 180 will empower you to a healthier, happier new year and new you. Listen, with EMP 180, you're going to keep the weight off, lose weight, gain muscle, live a longer, healthier life, no matter how many times you've tried to lose weight and failed. Here's some great news. EMP 180 is unique. EMP 180 is the standard of nutritionally based weight loss in the Washington, D.C. area because it works. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change that makes everything better. EMP 180 offers incredibly personalized service, utilizing an entire team dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. Want to look and feel the way you used to? Want to fit into those old great jeans? Want people to see you and not the weight? Trust me, EMP 180 is your answer. For a consultation in Tysons, Rockville, Woodbridge, Alexandria, and Ashburn, call 855-888-0180 or visit emp180.com or Google EMP 180.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the acting president at the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
Excellent. The border, big question mark, debate back and forth. You put it in perspective as you see where the president is and as what's next.
Well, the president, I think, is aptly and appropriately trying to get Congress to do its job. They really do have the responsibility, both policy-wise and Article I funding-wise. I mean, it's their job. And we have seen many of the politicians who are now opposing the wall have spoken publicly in favor of a wall in the past. So it's, I think, massive and sustained hypocrisy by the left. The bottom line is this. We want those of us who believe that this is a national security requirement, we believe that you need to create conditions for protecting the border. That means a wall or barrier, whatever you want to call it, as he said, call it peaches. It creates controlled checkpoints that people can pass through. And we want to primarily target the drug cartels, the human traffickers, any individuals who have terrorist affiliations or connections. That's it. And you cannot do that with open borders. You cannot do that when people can just kind of walk through. So, I think if he doesn't get the funds as he needs, I think he's prepared to launch into military and other Pentagon-related answers to try to set up the wall.
Whether you like Trump or you dislike Trump, finally, somebody is calling the question. This has been kicked down the road. This can
Absolutely.
Has been kicked down the road for decades. And he's finally calling the question, and everybody's all over him about it. So we'll see how it plays
out. So many
out.
Other things he's dealt with, he finally has decided to do something. Not talk about it, but do something. So that's his biggest sin here, Rick, is he's actually taking action, as he said he would during his campaign, which is, people are upset with. So
yeah, I've been very interested in your recent op-ed pieces, and you've got one out this week. It appears at the Delaware Gazette. Headline, Trump sees adversaries, competitors for what they are. And your opening paragraph is, we have a president who understands the difference between an enemy and a competitor, and through this knowledge, the correct tools to use in dealing with each. Explain kind of that difference between an enemy and a competitor, especially as it would be in the eyes of the president.
Yeah, it goes back to a root statement by the president, a quote, American success is not a foregone conclusion. That is his starting point. And then when you take that as your kind of baseline, you have to examine the world from the perspective of how do we then maximize our ability to interact with those who are, not necessarily our friends, but our competitors, who we may have economic interests, look, you know, we've got China. There's all sorts of things going on with China. While they're not necessarily an enemy, they are a competitor, and there's both good and bad things to be had with that. And along with that idea of America's success is being very, very effective in identifying and dealing with our enemies. So this is where I think, especially in the Obama administration, we were giving far too much support to people who want to kill us. And it just wasn't wise. We saw the rise of ISIS under Obama, which was something that he was told would happen if we did certain things in Iraq. So, again, President Trump is actually actioning very effectively, in my judgment. I try to lay it out in this article. I encourage people to go read it. Is that he has been able to establish a framework of national security which delineates both and addresses both in an effective way. And a lot of people don't like it because it has really changed the paradigm of how Washington does business. But I think, in my judgment, this is putting us, the United States, back in the position of global leadership, not dominance, but leadership, leading by example and trying to do the right thing. So that's what I lay out in this article.
And you can find it at the Delaware Gazette. The headline on it, Trump sees adversaries and competitors for what they are. Reports out of Syria that we have begun to at least move equipment out of Syria. And the New York Times headline reads, U.S. equipment, but not troops, begins exiting Syria in chaotic withdrawal. You know, they have to get that little editorial zing in the headline. How do you describe what you know of the plan and the time frame and whether this is chaotic or not?
Chaotic. War is chaos. We attempt as military members and planners to manage chaos. So, yeah, of course it's chaos. We're in the middle of trying to stop ISIS. We're in the middle of trying to find ways to bring our allies in to be the stabilizing force. You've got the Russians there, you've got the Iranians there, you've got the Turkish there, you've got the Iraqis there. It's chaos. So what we are trying to do is minimize the exposure of U.S. troops, individuals, to any potential loss of life over anything that we can't justify U.S. interests being directly involved in. Will we continue to launch operations and go after ISIS? Absolutely. There's not going to be any change in this. But the idea here, Rick, is essentially to remove any semi-permanent or permanent base of operations in Syria. That's it. So will we be interacting? Absolutely. Will we be doing operations? Yes. So this whole premise that somehow it's all chaotic and all and not normal, that's just not the case. We are proceeding as planned, and I'm confident based on the people I've talked to at the Pentagon, we're going to be just fine the way we're doing it.
Got about a minute left, Tony. Just want to note, there is an American being held in Iran. Young guy went over to visit his girlfriend in Iran that he met online. Paul Whelan still being held in Russia. And question, it's not a good time for Americans to travel to unfriendly countries, is it?
Well, no, I don't think it's ever been good because remember the Obama administration, we had multiple hostages in Iran. So the Iranian issue is never going to get better until there's a regime change there. And I think that's where we support the Green Movement to encourage the people of Iran to rise up. Russia? Well, you know, Rick, Russia is Russia. And I think right now we have the Cold War 2.0 kind of simmering very quietly just below the surface. And I think you're going to see more and more of this tit-for-tat between Putin and President Trump. And boy, if this is Russia, if we're colluding with Russia, man, we're not getting any benefit out of that deal.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, author of Operation Darkheart. Tony, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the snow. 7:44, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the traffic center.
Traveling in the district, some slow traffic on DC 295 southbound from East Capitol Street to Pennsylvania Avenue with the new traffic pattern lane shifting to the left and the rough road surface. Northbound is also slow from the 11th Street Bridge headed towards Pennsylvania Avenue. And there's also construction on the northbound side. Traveling on the Beltway, things are looking good all the way around through Prince George's County and Montgomery County and also in Virginia. Now, do be aware that on Route 5 in Leonardtown, that is closed in both directions between Post Office Road and Crane Highway due to fire department activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, we do have a winter storm warning in effect from 4 p.m. this afternoon to 1 p.m. tomorrow. Expected totals ranging from 3 to 6 inches around the Washington area. Our high temperatures today, 35.
for tomorrow. Snow with a high temperature 33, cloudy on Monday, high 35, sunshine on Tuesday, a high of 40, sunny on Wednesday, up to 42. Outside in Washington right now, we're 28 degrees. We are headed to 35, and it's 7:45 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and we are joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She hosts Full Measure every Sunday morning at 10 on ABC7. And Cheryl, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The big story of the week, the shutdown in the government, the reason for that shutdown, the problems at the border. If you listen to Congressman Jerry Nadler, he says it's not a crisis. If you listen to a chorus of Democrats, it's a manufactured crisis. If you look at Customs and Border Patrol statistics, and I went back and looked over the last 7 years on the CBP site, if you look at 2017, every day, 832 illegal aliens are apprehended. That's the average of the 304,000 that were apprehended in 2017. Also, in 2017, 41,435 unaccompanied minors under the age of 18 were apprehended. That's 113 unaccompanied minors every day are apprehended. These are the numbers for the people that are apprehended. How many more people come across that are not apprehended? I would think that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, these numbers demonstrate that this borders on a crisis.
Well, you know, for Full Measure, I've been to the border many, many times, California, Texas, Arizona, with no preconceived notions. I just wanted to hear what they think of it there, law enforcement and residents, and was surprised that even heavily Hispanic communities run by Democrats such as Laredo, Texas, are super concerned about border security. They see what happens when the border isn't secure because, as they said, they have to live with the impact of the drug crime, the trafficking that goes on. At San Ysidro down in Southern California, that's where they have a lot of problems with girls in America being recruited and snatched off the street or recruited for sex trafficking in their schools. Everywhere you look on the border, ranchers will tell you, residents will tell you, they are in crisis. And there may not be complete agreement on exactly how to attack it and what to do in every case, but there's pretty overwhelming responses that I've gotten that everybody wants the border to be secure and more secure when possible than it is now.
Well, what I don't understand in the political fight, somewhere along that border, there have to be some stretches where the most viable security would be a steel barrier. It may not be as much as Donald Trump wants, but somewhere somebody ought to be able to negotiate this out so we can get the government open again. It's just the intransigence of these politicians is mind-boggling to me.
Well, again, they supported it, many in Congress, until Donald Trump wanted it. It is a matter of politics and semantics, I think, in some cases. And then, for many years, there's just been this schizophrenic idea of what we really want to do. When I was at the border looking at part where there was a wall and a fence and asked a border agent, why isn't there, you know, razor wire on top? Because people can climb over this wall fence. They can drive over it. They figure all kinds of ways to defeat the particular one that's there now. And he said, oh, we were told we can't put razor wire up there. It might hurt somebody. And I said, but wouldn't it stop them? I mean, isn't that the point? And he said, no, we are told, as a matter of policy, this was a couple of years ago, that we just want to slow them down. So slowing them down so that you can catch them doesn't solve the problem, they say. Same with technology. Technology so that you can catch them once they're here, which is quite difficult when you see the terrain, but doesn't solve the problem of, as you mentioned, that they're here, that the children, when they come over, immediately have a right that they have to be placed somewhere, immediately have tutors and education and medical care. Doctors are required. These are court decisions that mandate it. It's very expensive. So the problem continues if you think the only thing we're trying to do is slow them down so that we can, you know, capture them and write their name down before we let them go.
I want to turn to a story that you wrote about at your blog at CherylAtkison.com. And this was a report in the New York Times, and I'm going to read it very quickly, and then I want to get your read on it. This is how the New York Times reported the story about Paul Manafort sharing political polling data. Quote, as a top official in President Trump's campaign, Paul Manafort shared political polling data with a business associate tied to Russian intelligence, according to a court filing unsealed on Tuesday. The document provided the clearest evidence to date that the Trump campaign may have tried to coordinate with Russians during the 2016 presidential race. I am reading that from the New York Times on January 8th. And then, Cheryl, the next day, a correction. Quote, a previous version of this article misidentified the people to whom Paul Manafort wanted a Russian associate to send polling data. Mr. Manafort wanted the data sent to two Ukrainian oligarchs, not Oleg Deripaska, a Russian oligarch close to the Kremlin. The other media was casting that as a bombshell story, and it turned out to be a bomb. Here was the smoking gun for collusion with Russia. It's just false. I don't understand how the New York Times can make that kind of an accusation that is so egregiously wrong in the New York Times with previously, at least, respected journalists.
Well, you know, their best evidence yet turned out to be the opposite of that. You know, their best evidence that they said of the story. And there were, I think, three bylines on there. Two of the three reporters, Maggie Haberman and Ken Vogel, were well known when they worked at Politico, at least according to internal emails from the Clinton campaign and operatives, as being, at least the Democrats thought, friendlies who they could plant stories with, who would give them favorable coverage that they sometimes cleared drafts in advance with. So when the New York Times hired them, that's what they wanted. They knew that. So this is exactly what they want, which would explain why time and again there are so many egregious errors. I mean, everybody's entitled, you know, to an honest mistake on occasion, but there have been so many, as you pointed out, in formerly well-respected national news organizations that the kind of mistakes that, boy, if you made that in journalism school even once, you probably wouldn't have a career. But they, you know, they kind of go, well, we corrected it, so we admitted our mistake. What's the problem? With no apology that I could find. And then I even back up from what I read or what I could tell. Let's assume their story was true, which they say it wasn't. Now they admit it. It's not against the law, from what I could see, for polling data to be shared with somebody who happens to know people in other countries. Foreign agents operate on this soil all the time. U.S. people represent countries like Russia and China all over the world in ways that Americans have no idea. And you may not like it, and I may not like it, but in our system right now, it's considered legal, and a lot of politicians and former politicians do it. So they're putting this taint over something that's very commonly done in both parties, including, you know, by people that affiliated with Trump. But all of a sudden, it's not Russia. They back off of that and say it's Ukraine. It's quite different. And now, does that matter that Ukraine was supposedly involved in trying to impact our election? Or does nobody care unless it's Russia, because that's the target and the narrative we're being pointed towards?
And you have a list of a lot of these mistakes.
Well, if people are interested, at CherylAtkison.com, I've been tracking some of these major errors from big publications like this and outlets. I think I'm up to 64. Mm. I call them media mistakes in the era of Trump. And I haven't found one yet that happens to be in Trump's favor. There may be some out there, but when I look, I keep categorizing these major mistakes and corrections and fact errors, and all of them so far have been against Trump when they've made a mistake.
I want to turn to Full Measure. Tomorrow, you're doing a story on Afghanistan. Obviously, we've heard so much about the wars in Afghanistan and Syria. You have some numbers about the Afghanistan war that are quite troubling.
Right. With President Trump saying he's thinking of pulling out the rest of the troops, we talked to the Obama-appointed Inspector General over all of the spending, who continues to serve under President Trump. And he's giving us really a horrible assessment of 17 years there so far, which include billions upon billions of documented waste of our tax money through things like, he's going to tell us, projects that were never completed, contracts for buildings that were built and then never occupied and stuff wasn't put in them that we paid for, salaries going to soldiers and policemen in Afghanistan who don't exist, so someone's taken the money, And then on top of that, while we've been paying all this money and trying to make life better for the Afghans, the security situation is so precarious and so dangerous, he can't even get out to inspect most of the projects he needs to. It's bad there. And then the opium production is as robust as ever, and he says there's no detection of any of our counter-narcotics efforts anymore after we've put billions of dollars into it. It's apparently gone nowhere. So I think it's really enlightening and important for us to kind of see the state of things as we talk about the possibility of us pulling our last few thousand troops out.
That's tomorrow morning on Full Measure at 10 o'clock on ABC 7. Cheryl, thank you very much for being with us as always.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
7:55, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL.
It's easy to overreact to headlines, especially in volatile times like these. But the truth is, there can be costs to inaction as well as action. So how are you supposed to know what to do and when? Now is a great time to get in touch with your financial advisor. This is Simon Hamilton from the Wise Investor Group. Give us a call. We think we can help.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Okay, the new year is here, but so is that sagging jawline and that double chin. Now you can just make them disappear and look your best in 2019. It's Larry O'Connor and introducing the brand new Genucel Jawline Treatment with dual peptide and MDL technology. This is Chamonix's most advanced technology ever. It not only tightens the saggy jawline, but it also plumps the lipophilic layers of your skin to contour and define the jawline within minutes. Using peptides and metallactones together for the first time, it works incredibly fast, and the results get better every day. And right now, during Chamonix's New Year's giveaway, the revolutionary Genucel Jawline Treatment is yours absolutely free when you order the Genucel for under-eye bags and puffiness. And for results in 12 hours, Genucel's immediate effects is also free when you call or click now. Call 800-525-2720 or go to Genucel.com. Start the year right with beautiful skin, no bags and puffiness, and a tighter, higher jawline. 800-525-2720 or Genucel.com. Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hello, beautiful. Happy New Year, happy new hair color. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. Women love Madison Reed. You get gorgeous, shiny, multi-dimensional, healthy-looking hair. You'll look as if you just came from the salon. What makes our color unique is that each shade is composed of multiple tones, just like a colorist would mix a color formula in the salon. Delivered to your door for under $25 with every box of Madison Reed hair color, you get access to licensed colorists so you could color with total confidence. So if looking good, feeling great, saving time and money are on your list of New Year's resolutions, it's go time. Visit madison-reed.com, take our online quiz to find your perfect shade, and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code DCRADIO. That's code DCRADIO. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
You may have heard that Online Trading Academy is offering a free 3-hour investing class to help you kick the new year off right. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't have time for that. Well, let's see. What else can you do in 3 hours? You could clean your closet, you could play a round of golf, or you could attend one of their free classes where you can learn how to earn income in the market and achieve a life of financial freedom. In this free class, Online Trading Academy will show you how to generate income by identifying low-risk, high-reward opportunities. They'll even show you how to avoid making the two most common mistakes that investors make all the time. Don't miss out on 3 hours that can change everything. It's a new year, and you owe it to yourself to get this right. Call 877-304-TRADE. That's 877-304-TRADE, or register online at otaclass.com. Call now and they will send you home with a free investor kit just for attending. It's 877-304-TRADE, 877-304-TRADE, or otaclass.com.
The gift giving continues with 4K a day. Your chance to win $1,000. Four times each weekday.
Thank you.
New year, new chances to win. 4K a day.
You guys are awesome.
Happening now on WMAL.
Winter storm warning in effect from 4 p.m. this afternoon to 1 p.m. tomorrow. Possible accumulation of 3 to 6 inches expected. We'll have you covered throughout the day on WMAL. That's it for the Saturday morning update. Maria Leaf has the news next, and it's Garden Sense.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.